Morning. How many people got wet on the way in because you forgot an umbrella? Yes. Like I'm halfway here and it's like monsooning pouring down and I realized that the umbrella's in the garage, which is exactly where you needed to be at that moment. But hey, it's nice, rain. Matthew cut the grass yesterday, so my yard's gonna look good. It's all awesome. But I am so glad you guys are here. Now, I'm up here laughing. I shouldn't laugh when you pray, Gary. Really, I shouldn't laugh, but I'm laughing when you prayed because you're like, you know, the hard message. And then Brandon like scared everybody to death. You know, I'm like, what are we talking about today? I'm like scared to death too. I'm like, I'm horrified. But I know why they said that because they know what I'm talking about today. And it is a little bit difficult because some of you are going to see what we're talking about today kind of like a bait and switch. You know what a bait and switch is, right? Anybody like bait and switch deals? Nobody. We all hate them. Like when the guy shows up at your house promising that they will clean one room of your house for free if you'll just let them come in. And you're like, sure, I'll let you clean one room of my house because my kids just spilled Coke all over the floor and that's awesome. So they come in and 3 hours later, they're trying to, you know, still trying to sell you an overpriced and underperforming vacuum cleaner. You know what I mean? It's a bait and switch deal. We all hate those, right? Or those free vacations. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you have just won 3 days at Myrtle Beach. And you're like, could it at least be Hilton Head? I mean, come on. But, you know, you've won 3 days at Myrtle Beach. If you'll just sit through this short presentation, you know, you spend all 3 days at the beach sitting through these people trying to pressure you into buying some kind of timeshare, things like that. Well, you know, we all hate those sort of things, or at least I know I hate those sort of things. And some of you, when you find out what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, you're gonna think that we're trying to pull a bait and switch on you here in the church. And it's bad enough when a salesperson tries to do a bait and switch, but when a church tries to do it, man, that's why some of you quit church for a little while. That's why friends that you have or have kind of a bad taste in their mouth about Christians and about church because the church has tried a bait and switch deal. I remember the first year we did Movies in the Park, I got an email from Lane Filler. Lane Filler used to be the editor of the Spartanburg Herald Journal. And Lane Filler said, listen, this sounds like a good deal, but am I going to have to sit through a sermon before I watch a movie? He was worried about a church bait and switch because churches are known for bait and switches. Like we say, yeah, you can come to the movie, but you got to sit through a 20-minute sermon first, you know, or something. And I said, I promise you, it's not a bait and switch. I hate bait and switch deals. Well, I can assure you that we are not going to do kind of a bait and switch deal at the church. But what we are going to do over the next 3 weeks is we're going to talk about a very taboo subject. It's a subject that some churches talk about too much and other churches never talk about. It's a subject that's kind of dangerous and might be a little offensive to some people in the room. And that's because over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about money. And I know what some of you are thinking when you have this whole idea that we're going to talk about money. And I love these little slides that Randy created. Some of you are thinking this. Look at what this guy says. This is awesome. It's like, it seems like every time I go to church, somebody's begging for money. That's what, because some of you hadn't been for a while or you're thinking, you know, that man, every time I show up, it seems like they're talking about money. And I get that. And I hate it when churches beg for money. And I just want to let you know, we're not going to beg for money. That's not what this series is about at all. Actually, I'm not even going to talk about giving money to the church at all today. Okay, so you can just take a chill pill and just relax a little bit. I'm not going to do that. Others of you, you're thinking this. You're thinking, man, I am so glad we're talking about this because so-and-so needs to hear this. And we all got a so-and-so. Like, I don't need to hear it. But I know somebody who does need to hear it. Like, I'm sending them the recording. I'm taking notes for them, you know. But let me just tell you, I think every person in this room needs to hear what we're going to talk about because it's something that Jesus talked about. And especially if you call yourself a Christian, you should probably pay attention to the things that Jesus talks about, right? And so we're going to talk about that. Others of you, you're going to be like this kid right here. You know, la, 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 I'm not listening. You know, that's kind of how some of you are going to be. And you're thinking, man, if I can just make it through the next 3 weeks, then finally, you know, I'm just not going to pay attention. But you could do that. You could do that, but really, do you really want to ignore what Jesus says about what, according to Jesus, was a very, very important topic? Because I don't know if you realize this or not, but I want to share something with you. It might be new. 15% of all of Jesus' things that he talked about had to do with money. Some of you, if you open up your Bible, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's written in red letters. You know, everything that's red is something that Jesus said. If you were to take 15% of those red letters, Jesus is either talking about money, possessions, or treasure. He talked about money more than he talked about heaven and hell combined. He talked about money more than any other subject. So according to Jesus, it seems like money is something important. And since it's something that's important to Jesus, I think we should talk about it. But not only is money important to Jesus, let's be honest, money is an important part of each of our lives. You know how I know that? How many of you get a paycheck on a regular basis? Okay. How many of you wish you were getting a paycheck on a regular basis? Yeah. I saw you, Karen. Oh, yeah. But how many of you would be really, really upset, really, really upset if your paycheck didn't come 1 week? We would, yeah. Money is an important thing, an important topic to all of us in here. And since it's an important part of all of our lives, we should probably talk about it. So just because there's some preachers on TV who kind of get things wrong at times, or maybe you have a bad taste in your mouth because of some preacher that hounded you in the past, that's no reason we should shy away from something that Jesus said was ultra important. And that's no reason that we should shy away from something that's ultra important to all of us. But I know that some of you during the next few weeks, at some time, maybe even right now, you're going to feel the need to push back against something that we say. You're gonna push back against it. Some of you are gonna be tempted to send me emails. Some of you aren't just gonna be tempted. You're actually going to send me emails. And you're gonna say, I don't think we should be talking about this. Some of you may even get upset and leave. In fact, I don't know if you realize this or not, but every time I've ever done a series on money, somebody's left the church. Every time. Every single time. Don't let that be you. I'm watching. And I'm going to talk about you to Liz. I'm just telling you right now, okay? I'm going to talk about, not anybody else, but I'm going to talk about you to Liz. So, and to God. And it might not be nice, but I'm just saying. Don't let that be you. Because the only reason we're talking about money is because something that Jesus talked about. So, I want to give you a deal kind of here. Before you get mad and before you decide to leave, I just want you to know, I'm not coming at this with ulterior motives, which is why I'm going to give you a deal. You don't have to apply or do anything that I tell you, okay? I'm just telling you right up front. You don't have to. Obedience is always a choice, right? You don't have to apply or do anything that I tell you, but I would ask that you do one thing. And what I would ask that you would do is that over the next few weeks, you would examine your heart. That you would examine your heart, because as we're going to discover today, the way we deal with money, the way we spend money, the way we think about money, the way we handle money is directly connected with our hearts and our faith and our relationship with God and our spiritual life. That's why we're calling this series Hand in Hand. I love the graphic that Mackie made because really our heart and our finances go hand in hand. And this isn't something that I came up with on my own. This is something that Jesus said. Look at this verse out of Matthew 7:21. It's going to kind of be the basis of our entire series. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This verse leads to a key principle. There are two key principles that are going to be the foundation of what we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks. And the first one, I want you to write this down, is this, that money is not a financial issue. It's a spiritual issue. Money is not a financial issue, it's a spiritual issue. Like according to Jesus, how you handle money, how you view money, what you think about money, how you spend money, all that stuff, it's a spiritual issue. It says something about your heart. So if you get mad or you wanna push back against something that Jesus says or something the Apostle Paul says that we're gonna look at over the next few weeks, I just want you to pause for just a minute and ask yourself, what's going on in my heart? Like what's going on in me that causes me to get mad about this? You owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself to figure out what's going on because money is not a financial issue. It's a spiritual issue. So, ready or not, here we go. We're gonna dive in and look at a story that Jesus told about money. And if you're in a hub group, you looked at this story this past week. It's found in Matthew chapter 25. If you have your Bible, you can open up to Matthew 25. Sometimes it's called the parable of the talents or the parable of the gold coins. It's starting in verse 14. We're gonna put these verses up on the screen. I'm just gonna read through the whole story as if Jesus were telling it. Just remember, he was. So this is a story from Jesus. Look at what he says. He says, again, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." That's not what we want to hear from God, right? "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There's so much we could talk about in this parable, but I want to focus on answering one question, and I want you to answer it for me. In this parable, in this story, whose bags of gold were they? They were the master's. They weren't the servants. The servants were just entrusted with these bags of gold. Now let that sink in for just a minute. The bags of gold belonged to the master, not the servant. See, I think this story powerfully illustrates one of the main ideas of this series, the other principle. Because not only is the first principle that money is not a financial issue, money is a spiritual issue, but the second principle that's gonna undergird this series is this, that we are not owners, we are managers. I want you to write that down. Some of you are gonna forget it by the time you walk out of here. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, we are not owners, we are managers. Now, I understand this is the complete opposite of how we view our finances, right? This is the complete opposite of how we view money. I mean, think about how we view money, even how we talk about it. We say, "This is my money. I just got my paycheck. How am I gonna spend my money on whatever I wanna spend my money on?" I mean, we act like and we talk about our money as if it's ours, but the Bible teaches that we are not owners, that we are just managers, that it's all God's money. So everything that you have, all of your money, all of your investments, all of your possessions, they're not yours, they're God's. We're managers of God's money and we're managers of God's stuff. God never asks us to own it, but he does ask us to manage it, to take care of it. He says, look, I'm not giving you things, I'm entrusting you some things. And all of us have been entrusted with different amounts of things, just like the people in the story, you know? And some of us wish we were entrusted with more, right? We wish we were the guy with the 5 bags of gold. Most of us feel like we're the guy that wasn't mentioned who got like 1/2 bag of gold. Doesn't matter what we've been given, we're managers of what we've been given. And since that's the case, since we are not owners, but we are managers, we need to start to change how we think. We need to start to think like managers instead of thinking like owners. Let me tell you how owners think. This is an ownership attitude. You might wanna write this down because you're gonna recognize this in yourself at times. An ownership attitude says, money is an object to gain for my purposes. You might wanna circle the word my, underline the word my. You might even wanna put your name in there. That's an ownership attitude. The money is an object to gain for my purposes. Like, and that's why I want to get more, or I want a bigger this or a bigger that. But I want to show you something that the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes a couple things about money. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, he said this: "Those who love money will never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness." Now, we all know this is true. You know how we all know this is true? Because all of us in this room are never really satisfied. We all want a little bit more. And if someone were to ask you how much is enough, just more than I have right now, right? I mean, that's enough for me, just a little bit more. And that's why we daydream, and that's why we play the lottery, or we imagine what it would be like if some dead relative that we, or a relative died that we'd never met before and they gave us a lot of money. You know, we all daydream about those kind of things. Why? Because we're never satisfied. We always want more. And that's because we're thinking like owners, like owners. Let me show you another verse, two verses down, verse 12. He says, "The rich are always worrying and seldom get a good night's sleep." I love this because this really shows us the difference between a rich person and a poor person. You know what the difference between a rich person and a poor person is, right? The rich person just has more to worry about. And we know that. I mean, a study came out a few years ago that kind of illustrated that. The more somebody has, the more they lose sleep about worrying about what it is that they have. It's just this, and we're going to talk more about that a little bit next week. But and that's because we're thinking like owners. We're acting like everything we have is ours, and we're forgetting that we're not owners, that we're managers, we're stewards. And I want to tell you what a stewardship attitude is. You might want to write this down. Stewardship attitude says, money is a resource to use for the owner's purposes. Where you take and you look at whatever you've been given, and you ask yourself, okay, how does God want me to use this? Because it's not mine, it's his. How does God want me to spend this? Because it's not mine, it's all his. Would God really want me to buy this or to do this or to go here, you know? Because it's your money, God. What do you want me to do with it? That's what a stewardship attitude is. It says money is a resource to use for the owner's purposes. See, I think a lot of times, especially those of us who've grown up in church, we have this, some of us really think this clearly. Others of us kind of have this in the back of our mind, this idea that money is bad. And that's because we've heard it taught that money is the root of all evil. But that's not what Paul says, right? You remember what Paul says? He says that money is a root of evil, not the root. It's a root. In other words, it's how we handle, how we manage money, how we view money is that it's going to be the thing that leads us into evil. So money is not a bad thing. We need money, right? You would be in trouble without money. But it's not an object to gain. It's a resource that we use for the owner's purposes. And you know what? When we start to understand that, when that starts to sink in, it changes everything about how we view money, doesn't it? Some of you have already experienced this. It changes how you handle money. It changes, you start to realize that the money that you've been given isn't yours. That when you get your paycheck, that's not really yours. It's to be used for the owner's purpose. You're just entrusted to manage it. And when you understand that it's all God's money, it changes how you view giving. You start to think about giving differently, whether to a church or to some other organization, because you're not giving your money, you're giving God's money. And not only that, it changes how we spend money. It shifts what we think about when we're spending the money that God's given us, because we're not spending our money, we're spending somebody else's money. And so it changes how we think. And I know this is a big idea, but this principle, I just want to drive it home this morning, because this is the foundation of anything and everything we could say about money. That you and I are not owners, we are managers. We are not owners, we are managers. That our money is from God. We don't own it. We're just supposed to manage it. So I want you to do a little self-assessment. I just want to ask you to ask yourself this morning, how do you view money? When you think about what's in your account right now, whether it's 53 cents or 53,000, when you think about the money that's in your account, how do you view that? Are you viewing it as an owner, this is my money, or as a manager, that everything I have is God's? I want to give you some homework this week. Just a simple little piece of homework. And that is to let these two principles that we talked about this morning sink in. The first principle, that money is not a financial issue, but it's a spiritual issue. And the second principle, that we are not owners, but we are managers. I want you to just let those sink in. Here's what I want you to do. Every time you spend money this week, you pull out your debit card, or if you're one of those Dave Ramsey weirdos, you pull out your envelope, you know, with the cash in it. Yeah, I see you over there. You know, sorry, I've been waiting to say that one for years. But you know, whatever. Whenever you spend money, you go buy some gas. I got to go to Costco after we're done here, you know, and buy some. And whatever you spend money on this week, you go and buy a coffee. You know, you need dog food, whatever. Every time you pull it out, I want you to remind yourself of these two principles by saying to yourself, don't say it out loud because then people think you're weird. Say it silently to yourself, okay? They already think we're weird, okay? So let's not drive people over the edge. Just say to yourself, you know what? Me spending this is a spiritual issue. And I'm not an owner of this. I'm a manager of this. And just every time, actually, I hope I ruin your spending this week because you think about that every single time. Why? Because I think the key to us managing the money that God's given us, the way God wants us to manage it, is to change how we think about money. And the way we're going to change how we think about money is to retrain our minds in how we're thinking about money. And the best way I know to do that is that every time you spend money this week, every single time, that you remind yourself that this is not a financial issue, this is a spiritual issue, and I'm not an owner, I'm a manager. So, can you do that? Actually, let's practice, but we're going to practice this out loud, okay? Can we do that? This is the only time you can practice this out loud. I just want you to get it. Can you put the first principle up there, Clay? We're going to say this together, okay? Maybe. He's finding it. There we go. Thank you. Okay, here we go. Principle number one. Let's say it together. Money is not a financial issue. It's a spiritual issue. Okay? I know we said that so enthusiastically because we're so excited about that, right? We really did. It's like, yeah, you know? Okay, let's put the second one up there. Second one there. Here we go. We're not owners. We are managers. Every time you go to the store this week, every time you pump gas, every time you pull out cash, your debit card or your credit card or whatever you're using, your bitcoins, whatever you're using to spend money on, I want you to remind yourself of that this week, that you're not spending your money. You're spending God's money. And let that sink in because that's going to build the foundation of what we're going to talk about next week. And I'll just give you a little preview of what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, we're going to, I think how we manage money isn't always black and white. It requires wisdom. Right? It requires some wisdom. And we're going to talk about how we can manage God's money wisely. We're going to talk all about management next week. And so I encourage you to be here next week as we talk about that because I think it's going to change how you handle the money God has given you. It's reshaped how I handle the money God's given me. I started putting these principles into practice back when I was in college, and it changed everything for me about money. And I want it to change everything for you as well. Let's pray. God, this is, as we said, a little bit tough for us to talk about, but the reason it is tough for us to talk about is because so often we act like we're owners. And we need to confess that as a sin because it's clear all throughout your word that everything we have is a gift from you and that you own it all. I mean, David said in Psalms that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it and the world and all who live in it. Like everything in the world's yours. And then here, we discover today that Jesus, you talk about that we're not owners, we're managers of your stuff. You are the owner of it all. But so often we don't act like that and we just want to confess that as a sin. We want to repent. Like we don't want to act like owners anymore. We want to change our direction and start to act like managers. And so over the next few weeks, would you teach us how to do that? Over the next few weeks, would you open our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and really speak to us about how we can be wise managers of what you have given us. Because one of the things I want for our church family is for us to treat our money the way you want us to do that. That's an important part of our lives. So give us wisdom in that. Help us every time we spend money this week to remind ourselves that it's a spiritual issue, not a financial issue, and that we're managers and not owners. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.